Hi, this is Zoe, and this is episode 59 of the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, and we are talking about stop staff turnover in small to medium enterprises. And every time I say turnover, I'm thinking apple turnover, like spicy, yummy, gooey, apple cinnamon yumminess. So maybe you can stop turnover with apple turnovers. That's a long shot. In this episode, we give you a lot more strategic and more effective ways to do that. So let's do it.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Hey, welcome back and happy new year. Love 2018. It's gone off with a bang and or a whimper, depending on where you are and what's going on for you. For me, it's been sort of like a nice ease into the year and see the gloriousness of what's ahead. I love that feeling of a brand new year where everything is possible and you don't know yet what's going to happen, and it's all lying there waiting for you to go out and create it. So I'm in that mood and in that place, and I hope you are too. Didn't end the year so well, though. Lost two of my chickens. Yep. Our grand old dame Leia, who was 9 years old, my beautiful Plymouth Rock, my stripy chook, passed away. She'd been sick for a while. I think you just wear out when you're 9 years old. And so she passed quickly, which was good. And we had a little cry, of course. And that leaves us with two chickens. We've got two left. And they have the very uncreative names of Blackie Yellow Leg and Blackie Green Leg. Could have tried harder with the naming, but there you go. We've got two chooks left, and they are a little sad, just the two of them, I have to say. So we'll have to look out and look after them a little bit better. And on the ongoing adventure of learning Australiana, I learned yesterday that the Canadian expression doesn't really exist here in Australia. The Canadian expression of, that really bugs me. Apparently, that isn't really said here. I had no idea, no awareness of this whatsoever. It's a natural Canadian expression because in the spring and summer, when the bugs are out, they really do bug you and they get under your skin. There's even a phenomenon called bug stress. And having lived and worked in remote parts of Canada during the spring and summer, when the bugs could literally just pick you up and carry you away, the animals get bug stress where they get bitten around the eyes and they go a bit mental. And in some parts of Canada, you actually wear these bug suits and they look like fencing outfits. And that's to keep the bugs from biting your eyes and your ears and basically driving you mental. Anyway, so it's a natural expression in Canada. If something bugs you, it's kind of like to that level. So what do we say in Australia? Apparently we say things like, that really gets up my nose. That was my worst attempt at an Australian accent, but there you go. Or that really gives me the fill in the blank. So there you go. That really bugs me versus that gets up my nose. So apart from that, new things that are happening, apart from my new understanding of Australiana, my latest book, my third book, Loyalty, Stop Unwanted Staff Turnover, Boost Engagement, and Create Lifelong Advocates, is due out at the end of March, and I've just sent it off to the editor for the first round of editing. So yahoo, that's basically what I did over the Christmas break, is knuckle down and get this thing out. So I'm pretty excited by this new book. By the way, did you know that it's mandatory for every book that you write, you have to have an even longer subtitle? Yeah, it's like you need to capture the entire book in the subtitle, but there you go. That's coming out, and we're going to talk a little bit about the content in today's episode. So we will get that up for pre-launch prices and stuff when I get the book cover designed and all set up. So stay tuned for that announcement. It'll be on my website, zoerouth.com. But my new book, Loyalty, yeah, baby, it's going to be awesome. The other thing that is on our radar and is coming up pretty darn fast is the Edge of Leadership Unconference, also focused on unwanted staff attrition. So I've got some amazing speakers lined up and plenty of opportunity for people to intermingle and connect with each other. That's one of the biggest benefits and assets of the Unconference, is building those real human-to-human interactions. Unlike other conferences where you go and get spoken at for all day and you leave your heads turned around backwards, this event, we've designed it so that people can really talk and engage and process and reflect and create action plans and be able to implement straight away as they leave the event. We have pre-event webcasts that'll help add value and strengthen your understanding of the concepts and ideas so that when you get there on the day, you can discuss them with the speakers and discuss them with other people. So it really is a well-conceived educational experience that we want you to use to really build your businesses and deal with this issue of staff turnover, because it is a bigger and bigger problem for business owners, right? There's a lot more opportunity and flexibility available for employees. You can actually chop and change and work and live remotely and work wandering the globe. There's a lot of places and ways to make an income. And this is making business owners step up, if they're smart, in terms of how they engage and work with their people. So, yeah. That's all happening at the Edge of Leadership Unconference in my latest book and in today's podcast. So let's get into it, shall we? So on this idea of staff turnover, it's interesting, like the conversations I'm having with leaders are all about this, you know. Speaking to an architect and he was saying, yeah, a staff member of 5 years is leaving. Spoke to another firm, a legal firm yesterday, and they just got a call saying their PA is up and leaving, going to competitor. It happens, and some of it is unavoidable and inevitable, and sometimes you're happy about it. So we're not trying to tackle those ones. We're not trying to tackle the ones where it's a natural thing that somebody moves on, either because they're in a different stage of their life, or they're moving to a different city, or there's a really an incredible opportunity to go down and work in Antarctica, say, for example, and you just can't pass it up. Those kind of things will happen, and we wish those people well. It's more about the other ones, where the people are just sort of floating around, bobbing along in your business, and all of a sudden you get the news, I'm leaving. And this is what's interesting. When I talk to leaders about this, these are kinds of things that they say. It can vary from good riddance, didn't want them anyway. It's probably a good thing. They didn't fit the culture. They weren't quite a match. They were difficult. So there's a lot of blame and judgment around the behavior about that person. So as if the employer tolerated them until they finally did them a favor and left. So that's one sort of response. I've heard these ones. Oh, well, they don't have any loyalty. There's no team spirit there. You know, good on them. This kind of like irritation, resentment, and judgment about them not holding up their end of the bargain in terms of being a team player. This is another comment I heard recently. Oh, I put so much effort into them. They just don't appreciate what I did. I worked with them really hard. I protected them. I backed them and went to bat for them. And this is the thanks I get. So resentment creeping into that sense of desertion. Here's another comment. Oh, they've got no idea how good they've had it here. They're going to get a rude surprise going somewhere else, as if the place that the employer runs is the be-all and end-all and nowhere else could be as possibly as good. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes people do leave and they then regret having left, realizing all the good things that were about their previous employer. Like the grass is always greener, right? Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. Here's another comment that I get from leaders all the time. Oh, staff, young, especially those junior staff. It's always the junior staff. They'll leave you in a nanosecond for a better offer. So you can do all the best things in the world for your staff, and then at the drop of the hat, off they go if they see something else that looks better. So these are the kinds of things that I hear from leaders, and underneath that are the feelings of the leader and the business owners. There's a sense of personal betrayal. Let's be honest. Like, you worked hard with somebody and you get this working relationship going, you get into a pattern of a workflow, and then they're gone. It's like, oh, you can't help feeling a little bit let down, I think. I think that's totally normal. But that betrayal piece, that's an interesting one. It's like, I invested in you and you're going. There's also the frustration and annoyance. And this is personally oriented, right? So if somebody leaves, yes, somebody's going to have to pick up the slack. And generally, it's the business owner, especially in a small to medium business. and you have to recruit somebody else, and then you have to train them up, and there's this lag time while you're going through that process of recruiting and training, getting them up to speed, where your productivity lessens and they're not up to par and they can't take full workload until they understand all your systems, and there's mistakes and productivity goes down through that time period, and you can't get on to the progressive things in your business, which are promotions and client engagement, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it is a major inconvenience when staff leave unexpectedly. And then there's the feeling and the frustration that isn't really talked about, but is sitting there for a lot of leaders. And that's, is it me? Am I a good enough leader? Am I a good enough boss? Or do I suck? And that, is that why people are leaving? And it's the conversation they don't even want to have with themselves about the possibility that maybe they're not that good at what they're doing as a leader and as a boss. And that's actually a really hard question to ask yourself, isn't it? You know, is it me? Am I a crappy boss? Nobody wants to be a crappy boss. And sometimes that's the very question that you need to ask in order to get some progress, because possibly there are some things that you're doing or not doing that are contributing to unwanted staff turnover. And when we look at that with modesty, with humility, with a sense of inquiry, we can get some real progress. So here's some tips for you if you're sitting with the gnarly problem of unwanted staff turnover. Somebody's just left you. What do you do? Well, let's look at the loyalty ladder. And this graphic will be on the show notes, which are zoerauth.com/podcast/turnover. Think apple turnover. yummy, gooey, cinnamony yumminess. All right, so slight distraction, mental game there. Okay, so the loyalty ladder will be on the show notes, and I'm going to talk you through it, and I'm going to help you figure out where you're sitting on this and where your staff members might be sitting and which action or antidote you can take in order to combat what's going on. At the worst level, which is the bottom level of the ladder, we have aggression, aggressiveness, and people are deserting the business. It is not a good place to be if you have a business where people are deserting, which means they're just resigning. They're not even bothering to give proper notice or even an explanation. And they're just like jumping ship. And if you're in the middle of that and you've got to hold the ship together, that's really confronting. Sometimes it's due to things over which you have no control. So decisions that were imposed upon the business from external factors, either, let's say, you're in the public service and there was a big change process that was announced by the minister and you've got to implement it, and all of a sudden your staff go, right, don't want to be part of that, and then off they go. That's really difficult situation to deal with for sure. However, if you're a small to medium enterprise, the buck stops with you. And if you got desertion happening, there's something going on that you need to pay attention to. And the antidote to do there is to do with listening. So the secret to loyalty, there's three main skills or focus areas that you need to pay attention to. And they are talk, tribe, and touch points. And I'll explain a little bit of these as we go through. So if you're sitting in desertion land, which sucks big time, and you have like at least a 40% unwanted staff turnover, the best thing you can do that centers around the skills involved in talk. And the skill involved in talk at this stage that you need to implement is listen. You're not going to try and convince anybody to stay. You know, if they're deserting, they've made their decision, they're gone. So what you need to do is pay attention to the messages that they're giving you, because that's huge, deep insight there. So if people are abandoning ship, there's a good reason. Perhaps there is something that you can do about it. So you need to develop the capacity to be able to sit and listen to your exiting staff members and the ones who are remaining, and to really surface what are the issues. Can you adjust your approach? Can you make new decisions? Surface those without being defensive, without trying to justify. You're sitting there to get information. You know, what is it about the thing that you're going through that is causing people to get the heck out of there? So it takes a lot of energy. And it will take a lot of humility to sit and listen patiently while people tell you what sucks about A, your leadership, B, your business, C, the situation. And it takes a lot of courage not to get defensive and trying to justify what's happened. So that is your task. All the more power to you. So that's desertion. Next level up the ladder is mutiny. And that's where, well, the good news is that people aren't necessarily leaving. They're still on board, but they are challenging leadership and they want a change of the guard. They want a change of decision, and they have rallied together the troops and they're actively trying to change the status quo. And I just read a fantastic book by Patrick Murphy and Ray Coy. I think it's Coy, how you pronounce his last name. And it's called Mutiny and Its Bounty. Fabulous book. And what they do in this book is that they look at four main case studies from the age of discovery. So those big seafaring voyages of discovery where you have Christopher Colombo and Cabot and who else do they have in there? Magellan and Hudson. And they looked at these four different explorers and how each of them faced mutinies and how they dealt with them. Each of them dealt with it differently and each of them had different outcomes. Hudson was set adrift in Hudson's Bay with a small cohort of people and was never seen again, so didn't end so well for him. Colombo did a great job of actually turning the mutiny into a reinforcement and a development opportunity for his leadership. And that's the premise of the book. There's things that we can learn from the age of discovery and how mutiny was defined, how it was used, and how it was actually used to develop leadership and develop the purpose of the journey and strengthen it, or not, depending on how successful the leaders were. So their key premise is that mutiny is actually a rich source of information for you as a leader. So don't just think that people, because they're challenging your leadership or challenging the business model, that they're rebels and they want to bring you down. Well, they may want to bring you down. So you need to stretch past that and look at what are the messages that are causing people to get upset and to challenge the status quo in this way. And the way that you do that, the antidote is in the talk realm again. So your skill around the talk area is around accountability. And that means your accountability. What have you been doing as a leader that's causing people to rebel and create this sort of posse of mutinous behavior? And modern corporations, what that looks like in terms of mutinies is sometimes there's a system that people just are fed up to death with, and they will campaign hard to get rid of it. And it's irritating to a leader because all of a sudden you've got to deal with this change. It wasn't led by you, and you have these rankled staff members, and that's tension and yuckiness that you have to wade through. So the accountability piece is all about, right, okay, let's look at the situation. What did I contribute to it as a leader? And what did the systems contribute? What did the individuals contribute to this? And can we find a way forward through this? This process is just as exhausting as dealing with desertion, because again, you need to take a big slice of humble pie or apple turnover humble pie. I must be hungry today. In any case, you need to take a big piece of humble pie and really think about what it is that you've done to create the situation. What is your contributing factor? And that's hard work, you know, like you're just trying to do your best. And there's a lot going on, and sometimes we don't get it quite right. Therefore, to explore this and to be willing to learn and willing to open to change is really, really important. And we can get that when we're sitting in the place of mutiny. All right, so let's look at the next level up when things are a little bit better and we get to the place of entitlement. That's when the staff feel like they deserve more. And the organizational health and culture is responsive to what's going on. So they're committed, they're engaged, but they feel like, I deserve more. And you might have experienced this too. Somebody, a junior staff member comes in and asks for a pay rise or asks for a promotion, and they feel like they're owed it because they've been putting in the hard yards and they want to experience growth. And that's a natural thing, you know, especially people earlier in their careers. They are hungry for growth and development. And looking at the statistics of graduates from university these days, they have a huge amounts of debt because it costs a lot more to go to university than it did, you know, 20 years ago when I went through. And so they leave their university degree and they've got this big debt they've got to pay off. And it's really difficult to try and get strides ahead in the world because housing prices are enormous. They've got this university debt. And so they're keen. They're keen to learn and progress in an organization. And they're smart. They can learn quickly. And yet organizations are probably a bit slower to meet their needs because things don't often evolve as quickly as the ambition of the people within them. There aren't always places and promotions to be doled out. So what do you do? You know, the antidote to this situation is around the skill of using touch points. And touch points are carefully constructed engagements that you create throughout an employee's experience, which show appreciation is one of the things that you do in touch points. So appreciation goes a long way. It goes often a lot longer and further than simply given a promotion and pay rise. Now, there's five different types of currencies that staff enjoy, and appreciation is one of them, and survival needs is another. That's the financial ones. However, when you specifically create a cadence of engagement, a cadence of appreciation, of acknowledgement, of growth, then you mitigate a lot of this concern we have about feeling like staff deserve more. And it's one of the things that you can do on a regular basis that doesn't cost anything, is genuine, and really, really does build engagement with your team. So that leads to the next level, actually. So we go from entitlement to engagement. And the sentiment in the culture is we've earned this. So the sense of we've worked hard, we've earned this success. The rate of attrition, unwanted staff turnover, is around 10%. So that's pretty good in an organization, especially a small to medium enterprise. So like this is feeling pretty good if you get to this stage. And the antidote in terms of dealing with this stage of your culture and making sure that you have an upward spiral as opposed to a downward spiral is, again, coming back to touch points. And if you're going to keep your staff engaged, you've got to go use those two touch points, appreciation. And the second one at this level is growth. How can you help your individual staff members to grow and develop? If they're just rolling the arm over and just doing the same old, same old, same old, and they're not learning, they're not progressing, yeah, you can get pretty demoralized and bored pretty quickly. So having a really good growth plan, a really good appreciation plan, and a cadence of engagement is pretty critical for you to keep things moving positively forward. People will stay with you if they feel like they're learning and growing and developing. And if there's nothing new happening, people just get bored. And there's so many different opportunities that people can do, from being self-employed to working remotely to jumping ship and going to somebody else, that you want to be a center of excellence when it comes to growth and development appreciation. So let's look at the top level. And that is when you have loyalty. And this feeling in the business is we are inspired. The antidote, or the focus area that you need to really, really cement at this stage, is around tribe. And that's creating a sense of belonging and identity that people feel proud to be part of. I think it's also important to define what does loyalty mean at this stage, because I think as business owners, what we hope is that people stay with us through thick and thin, and that they're with us for a long time, and that we don't get disrupted with sudden departures and so on. And I think we need to be realistic. Loyalty is no longer longevity. Loyalty is advocacy. And our primary responsibility as leaders is to create a place of work where people feel appreciated, where they feel they belong, and where they're growing. And for the time that they're with us, may it be long as possible, that there is a sense of engagement, of involvement, and of pride of being part of that community that you've built as a leader. And when they leave, and if they leave, that they leave on excellent terms, they leave as lifelong advocates of you and your business and the purpose to which you all commit. And that takes care and vision and custodianship as a leader. And it's one of the most important aspects of running a business, is to have that front and center, is that you invite your staff into that sense of belonging, community, and purpose, that they become one of the people who are bringing this cause to life. If you don't have that sentiment in your work, oh, sorry about that. I got some background news. Hopefully that will end. I'm staying with my brother-in-law and I'm using their office and the phone has just gone off. Phew, okay. I was just on a roll there too. Okay, so let me summarize that last point again. This whole idea of creating a sense of place and belonging and connectedness is one of our key responsibilities, leaders and business owners. Ignore this at your peril. Your business is not just about doing a service. It's about creating a difference in the lives of the people that you serve. And you need to be bringing this to life and engaging your team along with this all the time. So let's go back and the different levels of the loyalty ladder are, worst case scenario, desertion. Next best thing, and there's value in it to explore, is mutiny. Third one is entitlement. And irritating as it is, there's things that you can do and learn from at this stage. The next level is engagement, and the top level is loyalty. And that's really where the organization, the team, and the leaders feel boundless, that they can take on any challenge, they can sail off into the horizon and meet whatever comes at them. All right, so that ladder, that graphic, will be posted on the show notes, zoerouth.com/podcast/turnover. And if you like this episode, I'd love, email me, zoe@innercompass.com.au. I'd love to hear your experience with turnover and what your insight is. And the best thing to do is actually subscribe at iTunes so that you don't miss any of the other further episodes. And especially with the new book coming out, you don't want to miss that either. So in the meantime, live well, lead well. And may you experience leadership that is where you can achieve more and struggle less. Have a great day.